You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
Coming up on College Football Live, Alabama and LSU have new starting quarterbacks, but which team is better built for another championship run? And Jackson State introduces the legendary Deion Sanders as their new head coach. Hear Prime Time's revealing comments on the challenges ahead. Our time, primetime players, Joey Galloway, Greg McElroy, I'm Wendy Nix. We will have three Power Five schools in action this weekend when the SEC finally kicks off. The Big Ten, we know, will be back soon. But we start with some breaking news out of Notre Dame. The game between the Fighting Irish and Wake Forest has been postponed this afternoon. Notre Dame announced that 13 players are in isolation. The school said seven players had tested positive for coronavirus out of 94 tests done on Monday. ESPN.com senior football writer Adam Rittenberg joins us as we continue to monitor this. And Adam, you know, is there anything additional to add here?
Yeah, Wendy, all football activities are on pause, as you can imagine, as Notre Dame goes through some rounds of testing to try to get back to a fuller roster. They've been handling this virus just about as well as anyone in the country. 99% negativity rate last week, only 14 positive tests since they started testing in June. Now, Notre Dame and Wake Forest do have a mutual open date on October 3rd. I'm told it's too soon to put this game in there, but it is an option for those teams as Notre Dame continues to evaluate. Team source telling me earlier that it stinks. This virus is not going away, and you know, it's just something that they're going to have to deal with going forward, like a lot of teams around college football.
There's no question, and it's just such a difficult situation on these college campuses. The NFL, meanwhile, announced their testing from last week. 2,400 players tested, almost 14,000 tests, and not a single positive result. So you just don't know, but schools are going to have to be flexible. All right, Adam, stick around as we talk about the Big Ten. The news coming last week that the conference has decided to resume its football season. They will kick things off the weekend of October 24th. Each team will attempt to play 8 games in 8 weeks, and then the conference would complete its season before the December 20th selection day for the college football playoffs. Heather Denich joins us now as well. And Heather, I'll start with you. Clearly, there were a lot of power players here in getting this decision reversed because they had canceled it on August 9th. What was the difference?
Wendy, sources told us that there were two key players involved in this decision. University presidents, Samuel Stanley at Michigan State, because he was a member of the steering committee, but more importantly, he has a background in science, infectious diseases to be specific, and also Michigan president Mark Schlissel. He has a degree from Johns Hopkins, and his background is in bioscience and immunology. So the two of them, their voices were extremely strong as these decisions unfolded, and if their minds were going to change, the science had to change with it.
Well, Heather and Adam have written a column together now on ESPN.com, a behind-the-scenes look and how this decision was reversed. Adam, listen, what needed to change? What had to happen to make a season possible, at least right now?
Wendy, the Big Ten doctors told us there were two game changers in this. The first was the availability and the development of rapid testing. They believe this testing that they'll eventually incorporate will identify when players are infectious before they are, and they can take them out of these football facilities and get around some of the contact tracing issues, which have really postponed games around the country. So the rapid testing was huge. The second game changer was some of the developments around cardiac screening. That was a major concern concern for Big Ten presidents when they postponed the season on August 11th. Doctors telling us not all Big Ten schools initially had access to cardiac MRI machines that are able to diagnose a condition like myocarditis. That has been fixed. So all Big Ten schools now have full access to all the cardiac screening, and that ultimately put the presidents more at ease with a fall season starting on October 24th.
Well, that will be part of the Big Ten's protocol as well, an important part. Heather, Adam, thank you. Again, first the Big Ten said it would have a season, then a few days later, the season, or the schedule, if you will, was released, and it includes some of the biggest rivalry games in college football. Take a look at this. Minnesota will face Wisconsin for the 130th time. That game coming on November 28th. On December 12th, we have a slate of three rivalry games, including Michigan at Ohio State, their first meeting in series history. Greg, Joey, we had to wait a few days to find out exactly who would play whom when. But Greg, what stood out to you when you did see the schedule?
Well, we've heard for a while now from Nebraska, right? Every level, from Scott Frost all the way up the pecking order within the state of University of Nebraska system. So I think what's really ironic is they've been outspoken about getting games scheduled. They've said, we've been willing to maybe even look outside the conference. And I think the Big Ten clearly responded with an iron fist. They said, hey, you know what, Nebraska, you want to play so bad? Why don't you just go on up to Columbus week one? How does that sound? Does that sound like a fun way to get your season underway? I thought that was somewhat comical and ironic. And then, of course, I had to look at the Buckeyes' schedule. I personally think, Joey, that a big reason why the Big Ten is playing is because Ohio State has a legitimate national championship contending roster, and they pushed from within to make this happen. And if you look at the schedule, it's relatively manageable. Once they get past Penn State in week two, of course, they still have Michigan, but it's not quite as daunting as some of the other Big Ten East opponents might have throughout the course of the season.
Greg, and if I'm Nebraska, I take a look at their schedule a little differently. If Nebraska wants to be on the national scene, if Nebraska wants to be part of any conversation involving college football, you know, in areas of the SEC, the ACC, out west, they have to play teams like Ohio State, like Penn State, Wisconsin. That's how they get in the conversation. Knock one of those teams off, and then we talk about you. If you don't, if Nebraska doesn't have that kind of schedule, Nebraska's not talked about. And so I would look at that from an angle of, this is our chance to make a statement. This is our chance to get on national TV. This is our chance to be part of the conversation at a national level. And Greg, you just made the pivot right around to Ohio State when you started talking national championship in a team that has a chance. And so if I'm one of the other teams in the Big Ten, I'm looking at that opportunity to play one of the big dogs, one of the teams that everyone's thinking is one of the best teams in the country. I would look at that as a challenge, have a chance to knock that team off and get into a conversation that involves every other team. Because Greg, to be honest, as you're sitting down in your mansion down there in Alabama and you're thinking about Big Ten football, who do you really want to see play? You're looking to see an Ohio State play, and if you're one of the other teams, play Ohio State, and Greg McElroy has to watch you.
Well, I tell you what,
it's ridiculous.
You're right, Joe.
That?
It could be looked at. Yeah. Question though, Greg, can we get a tour one of these days when we have a little more time? I mean, I'm sure America would like to see the mansion just while we're at it, but you know, we can hold off. Careful what you wish for if you're in Nebraska, but Joey, you're right. If you do go in and somehow make a statement, then that certainly changes the dynamic of your season. Speaking of the dynamic at LSU and Alabama, it has changed in terms of the quarterback. Both of theirs have moved on. So who replaces Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa? We'll talk about that and who's best suited coming up.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
LSU has a new quarterback in the wake of Joe Burrow's departure to the NFL. Coach Ed Orgeron has tapped Miles Brennan as the Tigers' new starting QB. Here is Coach O on the decision.
I've always believed in Miles Brennan. I think he's an excellent young man. He waited his turn, a lot of respect. Has a strong arm, probably a stronger arm than Joe Burrow had. Can extend plays with his feet, not quite like Joe did. Is learning the offense. I think the spring kind of hurt for him not being with us, for us not practicing with his receivers. But I think he did a good job of catching up during COVID and catching up in the summertime. He was very accurate with the football in all three scrimmages. The only thing that we don't know, and I do believe that he's going to do very well, is how he's going to do in the fire. And the only way to know that is put him in the fire. I trust Miles. He's become a team leader. A short passing game is his strength. The deep ball is something that he is very good at. But I think that takes time for him and his receivers to get the timing down. And hopefully we can improve on that throughout the year.
Back to that Burrow guy that Brennan is replacing. He did some serious fishing in the Bayou last season. Burrow set the FBS single season record for total offense, total touchdowns responsible for, and passing touchdowns. And with those records, he reeled in the Heisman Trophy and helped LSU lure in a national championship. And then to top it all off, Burrow was the Bengals' big catch as the top overall pick in the 2020 NFL Draft. Miles Brennan then has some big shoes to fill. He replaces Burrow. He was a highly recruited out of high school, ranked as the fourth best pocket passer in the 2017 ESPN 300. He also played 17 games in his college career, the only quarterback on the LSU roster with collegiate game experience. So Miles Brennan, the bar is high. Joey, what are your expectations for the defending national champs with him at the helm?
I really don't know what the expectations are. This is the team that I can't wait to see play, just to see what they look like. You name all the players that left. Joe Brady has gone, the passing game coordinator that was given all the credit for what that offense looked like last season with Joe Burrow at the helm. And then Dave Aranda's gone on the defensive side, the D coordinator. He's also gone. And so when you look at LSU's situation and what they have to build from, it's not just players leaving. Like, a lot of these programs deal with players leaving and they reload. LSU has to do something that they just have to reload at player, but now they got to reload at DC and OC. This is going to be a terrific experiment to watch, to see, because if Ed Ogeron pulls this off and this team looks anything like last year's team, with what he said through COVID, they haven't had a chance to get together like they did last season. No spring football. This young quarterback stepping in a situation that is about as tough as there is in college football, but we know LSU to be talented. I love Ed Ogeron. It'll be interesting to see what he can make this team look like.
They're going to be talented. There's no denying that, Joey. And I actually completely agree with you. I think that these expectations, you said I don't know what they should be, they need to be cut in half. Right now, they're unreasonable. Just given all the pieces that they have to replace, and they're playing a 10-game conference gauntlet in the SEC. And then you look at it, too. Getting to the mountaintop, I think, in some ways, is harder than staying at the mountaintop. Still expect them to be really good, really talented. And I actually really, really like Miles Brennan. I think he'll fill in Joe Burrow's big shoes. I think he'll fill them admirably. The problem is, I think the continuity between coordinator and coach won't be what it was last year. I don't know how it possibly could be. And they are really going to miss Dave Aranda on the defensive side of the football. Yeah, Bo Pelini's there, an experienced guy that's been there in the past and has built some great defenses. But knowing that every team really in the SEC West has likely improved, it might be a lot tougher, I think, for LSU to sustain that same level of dominance both on offense and on defense.
You talk about a gauntlet, Greg. Certainly the SEC West is just that. And when we talk about quarterbacks, they get the credit and the blame probably more than their fair share. But at some point, it also becomes about the supporting cast. And LSU has a lot of changes to contend with. Alabama will also have some changes, most notably at starting quarterback as well. This as Tua Tagovailoa moved on to the National Football League, much like Joe Burrow. So their new quarterback, according to head coach Nick Saban, Mac Jones takes over as the Tide's starting QB. Needless to say, Tua Tagovailoa will be missed by Roll Tide Nation. In his three seasons in Tuscaloosa, Tua broke the Alabama career record for touchdown passes and touchdown responsibility
We got a guy here who knows a little bit about playing in Tuscaloosa. We're lucky to have Greg with us today. And Greg, listen, we got to see Mac make a few starts last season, so there's a little bit of a sample size here. What stood out to you?
Well, Wendy, we always look and evaluate guys based on their physical makeup. How do they throw it? How do they run it? But what I was most impressed with Mac Jones last year was his mental toughness. And that was actually on display in a loss against Auburn. He threw two pick sixes, both of which were kind of difficult and unlucky pick sixes. Not the worst decisions in the world, just unlucky. But the guy bounced back, and he continued to press. And when you're playing in a rivalry game on the road against a very good Auburn team with a hostile crowd that's turned against you, being able to bounce back and still give your team a chance to potentially be in the game at game's end is remarkable. So I know he could throw it. I know he can run it. He wouldn't be playing at Alabama if he couldn't do both those things, Joey. But what I was most impressed with is that he filled Tua's shoes admirably, and he responded when adversity set in one of the most hostile environments he'll ever face.
Yeah, and that's a typical quarterback answer. Just focus on the quarterback. But if you look outside and who this guy's throwing to, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris in the backfield, he's stepping into the best possible situation in college football with the skill positions that he's surrounded by. He's in a situation where he doesn't have to go out and necessarily win football games. He has to just make sure he takes care of the football. Get into those guys' hands. Let them do the rest of the work. If you look at Alabama's situation, this is a team that didn't make the playoff. They'll be angry. They always come back angry the year after they don't make it. That's why I've been so impressed with what Coach Saban's been able to do there, because when they don't make it, you can guarantee whoever's on their schedule, they're going to try to kill them every single week, no matter who it is. And so Mac Jones has showed, like you mentioned, at the end of the season to be a talented quarterback, but those skills positions around him, there is a ton of firepower, and he's kind of stepping into a situation of don't mess it up, get the ball in their hands and let them do the work, and he'll just sit back and accumulate the stats. You know how your quarterbacks do. You get credit when you throw the 5-yard route and the receiver turns around and goes 80. That goes on your stat line.
When you can't burn somebody, we got to throw you open, though. So it goes both ways, Joey.
Sure it does. I'm sure
again,
it does.
Again, spoken like a true quarterback. Fair enough, guys. And we finally get to see the SEC in action this weekend. Listen, this is the landscape they'll step into as we take a look at the college football rankings brought to you by PlayStation 5. Not much has changed in the top this week. Only Texas moving up slightly from 9th to sharing that 8th place spot with Auburn. And now for this week's ultimate performance presented by BMW. The distinction goes to Dylan Gabriel, there for a career-high 417 passing yards and 4 passing touchdowns against Georgia Tech. This makes him just the 5th UCF quarterback to pass for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in a game since the Knights moved to the FBS in 1996. They also move up the rankings now, sitting in the number 13 spot. Up next, you cannot argue, he's one of the greatest players in college and pro football history, but now Deion Sanders is a head coach. How will he fare? We'll hear from Jackson State's new head man coming up.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
And a Sunshine State rivalry is this week's Saturday Night Football matchup. De'Arik King and the number 12 Hurricanes host Florida State at Hard Rock Stadium. The Canes have won the last 3 against the Noles after losing 7 in a row dating back to 2010. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. Now, speaking of Florida State, remember Deion Sanders, a 2-time All-American cornerback under Bobby Bowden. That was in 87 and 88. And yesterday, a grand entrance fitting the Hall of Famer, Prime Time, was introduced as the new head coach of Jackson State University. Here's Coach Sanders.
These are tears just to establish how proud I am to stand before my people. I said to stand before my people. I believe that God led me here, not man. because man didn't believe that I was coming. I believe the men that I sat and looked into their eyes on a Zoom call yesterday can win SWAC championships. I believe that our commitment to excellence academically can continue. I believe that our student enrollment can increase. I believe that the crime in this community could cease. I believe that these young men that we're raising is going to be pillars in the community, not only professional football players, but professionals.
It's not going to be boring. Deion Sanders, the resume is impressive. In college, he was a two-time consensus All-American and won the Jim Thorpe Award. He continued that success at the pro level, becoming a two-time Super Bowl champion, 1994 Defensive Player of the Year, and eventually inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now he adds head coach to his resume. Joey, what do you think? And again, I promise, it will not be dull.
Yeah, this is going to be fun, and it is interesting because we're already talking about Jackson State, which has never happened since I've been covering college football for ESPN. Actually made me go do a little research on Jackson State to find out who went there. Some great players. Jackie Slater went there. Jimmy Smith. And, you know, as you look at these names, like a guy like Walter Payton went to Jackson State, that a lot of people didn't know that. But now that Deion Sanders is there, he actually makes you interested to go see something, find out information about Jackson State, and now we're discussing Jackson State. So they're already winning as far as the offseason is concerned. Now they got to win some football games, or we won't be talking about Jackson State anymore.
Yeah, it's great. He won the press conference, right? Right, he won the press conference, though, showing up, police escort, Escalade. I hope it works. I really do. You know that he had eyes on the Florida State job, his alma mater. I really do. I hope it works. I hope he's there for a long period of time. It can actually change it. If you look, and nothing's confirmed yet, if you look at the list of players, former players that he might have populating his staff, names like Warren Sapp, Terrell Owens, I don't know if those are accurate, but he's saying he's going after those guys to make them a part of his staff. So if he has guys like that, man, That's a pretty impressive resume when those guys go on the road to recruit. So I hope it works out for Jackson State and for Deion.
Yeah, how about rolling in with that posse to somebody's living room? And by the way, I'm going to be the first to volunteer to go to their coaches' meetings because I cannot imagine. But again, a new role for Deion Sanders. Don't forget Notre Dame-Wake Forest, the fourth ACC game we've had to postpone due to coronavirus. They won't play. We'll play again tomorrow. See you then.